This is True Tales of Luxury with me, Mariella Frostrup.
I used to be quite ashamed of my body as well and didn't really kind of show it off because at the time it wasn't very trendy to be curvy. It was the 90s, you know, you had to be thin and I wasn't that.
Hello and welcome to True Tales of Luxury with me, Mariella Frostrup. In this series of podcasts from Harrods, I'm talking to people at the top of the creative industries about their work and its relationship to luxury. Today, my guest is Sarah Schotten. If this isn't a name that immediately brings to mind fabulous and glorious lingerie, then it should, because for the best part of 20 years, she's worked her way through the ranks to become creative director of Agent Provocateur. Theatrical, sensual, sometimes downright sexy, this very British brand of underwear changed what women wanted to put next to their skin. The first thing really that I wanted to ask you was that it sort of feels sort of 19th century to work your way up from the bottom.
I know. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm like, you know.
No, I think it's a kind of an amazing thing. So you've been at Agent Provocateur for 2 decades.
Yes.
And have done literally that. You started answering the phones?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was office junior. So I graduated from Central St. Martin's in 1998, actually. And I sort of came out of there going, oh, God, I never want to design ever again. You know, I was like, And moved back to my parents' farm, actually, in County Durham. It was like helping my dad potato pick and doing weird things like that.
Must have been bad at St. Martin's.
It was like I need to just sort of get back to, you know, reality. And, I was sort of looking for a job at the time and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And there was an advert in The Standard one evening saying, you know, looking for an office junior.
That's how we used to find jobs in the old days, just for anyone who's younger than, you know,
yeah. It was the Evening Standard, wasn't it? The back page, you know, design jobs. And a friend of mine was like, you know, you're very Agent Provocateur, you should go for that position. I was like, what do you mean? Because at the time I sort of wore surfy stuff and, you know, but obviously on an evening you'd dress up. And basically, yeah, started at the bottom, went for my interview, met Serena, went to second interview, met Joe.
They're the two creators of the Agent Provocateur brand. It was their idea, wasn't it, really, to take sexy underwear to the high street?
Yeah. It was to, at the time, there was only like Ann Summers or Marks and Spencers. One was kind of, you know, PVC
functional
knickers. And,
that's the PVC knickers,
yeah. And one was like white, normal kind of Bridget Jones pants, basically. And I started as an office junior. There was 3 other girls at the head office and myself. And I literally did everything, really. Hit it off with Joe. And one minute you'd be like boxing bras into to get them to Broadwick Street and Pont Street. Gorgeous, like frilly knickers. And then the next minute you'd be answering the phone and, you know, learning how to say Agent Provocateur. And I was like, hello, Agent Provocateur. And they were like, no, less than more. A little bit sexier, Sarah. So what was really great was because it was quite small and it was very cull, Joe would be like, we need to change the windows at Broadwick Street. You went to art college. Go on, go and change the windows. And
so there was loads of opportunity in a way.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, just before we move on, just what it was about the experience at St. Martin's that had you breaking for the Dales.
It was so intense, like the final year. I mean, it's a great college, I have to say. But there was a lot of partying going on. I think for like the first 2 years, I mean, I don't really remember much about it. And we were told just to go and mingle and it's, you know, not what you know, it's who you know. So we did that. I did that very well, I would say. And then, you know, the final year, it was like, crikey, I've got to do a collection here. And it was literally working night and day. And I think for me, I am very creative and I love that side of things. But I just was like, I need to know how like things work, how a business runs. And I just needed a bit of normality probably. And I mean, I wasn't back in the Dales for very long. It was about maybe 6 months. But I kind of needed that time to think, what do I really want to do? Because I had in my mind that I wanted to be a buyer, but I'm not very good at maths. So that wasn't really going to get me anywhere. I just had to, you know, have a little bit of a break, I think. But I was pretty happy to have a job, put it this way. I was like, bye, Dad, I'm going again. See you later. I was like, back into London.
You studied design, but you didn't study particularly lingerie design. So when did you get interested? We've both got to really work on our French accent.
Yes, no, we do. I think I definitely need to work on it.
When did you decide that that was of particular interest? Was it just literally because you found yourself at Agent Provocateur?
No, I mean, I'd already, like with my collection, I'd done a lot of corsetry, and I actually worked with a woman who taught Mr. Pearl, and she helped me do my final corsets for my collection. So it was all based on 50s. And I kind of had an obsession with underwear anyway, because I was very curvy. So I was actually a double F when I was, like a 32 double F. And I couldn't
She's going, yeah, because my eyebrows have just shot up to the very top of my hairline.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had...
Well disguised today, Sarah.
Yeah, well, you know, big baggy shirt. So I was very curvy and I couldn't get underwear to fit me. So I used to work in a vintage store while I was going through college, and I used to buy 1950s basques. So I would wear, like, you know, basques that Marilyn Monroe type thing, and I would take the backs in because my back was so small. And, you know, I used to be quite ashamed of my body as well and didn't really kind of show it off, because at the time it wasn't very trendy to be curvy. It was the 90s, you know, you had to be thin, and I wasn't that. So when I first started working for AP, I bought my first set of lingerie, and it kind of transformed me in a way. You'll remember there was like electric blue tulle bras with frilly ouvert knickers. And, you know, I went from somebody who was quite ashamed of my body and would hunch my shoulders to like, wow, I look amazing. And what have I been thinking? And no, oh, look at me, you know, and it kind of transformed me in a way. So because also my mum was an artist and I'd done a lot of life drawing, I knew that every female body was different. And so when Jo asked me to start designing, I kind of was like, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do this really well. And I want to do it so that if you're an A cup or if you're an F cup, you can buy the same shape bra and it's going to do amazing things for your body. So that's what I was sort of thinking all the time about it, really. And that's how, I started sort of designing pretty much, I would say, maybe a year into the job, and was just like, wow, I love this. So I was always thinking like construction and how it lifts you up and pulls you in.
It's interesting with underwear, isn't it? Because as much as women have gone on an enormous journey in the last, 20, 30 years, so has our relationship with underwear. And so when Agent Provocateur sort of hit the high street, it seemed quite shocking, you know, that kind of underwear should be, you know, shop fronts just next to M&S or whatever else, as you say. And now it almost feels like it's gone full circle, and there's a big debate about, you know, whether women really should be wearing sexy underwear, and whether that's just a sort of continuation of the objectification of women, and shouldn't we be fighting our way out of the lacy corsets and into stretchy leisure wear that's so much more functional for the working woman?
Yeah.
What do you say in that discussion?
Well, I'm a feminist, and, you know, I'm a feminist that, you know, loves high heels and loves nice things. Obviously, because I am an F cup still, you know, I do go through times when I'm running around with the kids where I'm wearing sports bras and things like that. And I know also from having my kids when I was in maternity feeding bras and like over the belly knickers, you know, I was starting to kind of, I remember my mum coming around to see me and going, you know, you need to get out of those tracksuit bottoms and you need to start wearing makeup again. Because I was literally like, whew, I'm so comfortable, I'm just going to roll with this. And I was, so what I think I love about Agent Provocateur is it kind of makes you feel amazing. And actually, I couldn't do my job today if I wasn't strapped into something, because, you know, I'd be like having to carry my boobs around, you know. So I think that underwear is very important. You know, it makes you feel good about yourself. It makes you feel confident. It's fun. It pulls you in. It's the most important thing that you put on every day. So obviously I'm quite sporty as well, so I do wear sports bra, but I think we should be embracing it. And I think that, because obviously it's very feminist world out there, you don't have to start wearing flip-flops or sports bras just because you're a feminist. You know, you can wear, I think it's freedom of choice, and that's what I'm really about. It should be, you should be able to wear whatever you fancy wearing at that time.
Do you think that in the way that men have embraced so many aspects of a female beauty routine and fashion in our lifetimes, Do you think that there'll come a time when you'll be designing sort of sexy underwear for men?
Well, funny you should say that. Actually, before Joe left, we were going to do men's underwear. But then there's always been a debate about what they would look like, and would they be pink, and would they be cotton boxer shorts, or would they be Y-front? So then we kind of steered away from it. But I'm not saying that it won't ever happen, because I think it's quite important to look after the men as well, you know. And one thing about Agent Provocateur is it's a place, and it always has been, for everybody, you know. I think it's the only lingerie store where a man feels really comfortable buying underwear, you know, and women going with their friends, or a woman going in to buy it for herself, and pretty special underwear. You kind of put it on, you're a bit like, yeah, okay, this is good.
When you say it's pretty special underwear, how does it differ from other brands, and what makes it luxurious?
Okay, so we've got a huge we've got a good technical team, and sometimes we use lingerie fabrics, but we mostly use runway laces. So laces that you might get at Chanel or like Balenciaga. We use basically beautiful French levers lace. We also develop our own print. So we kind of use very special fabrics, but also we redesign the collection each season. So we start from scratch. So we build mood boards, and kind of, it's quite fashion forward, I would say. And how I sort of design is I don't follow trends. I just kind of go with what I'm sort of feeling like I would probably want to wear, or what I think this is what we should be doing this season, basically. And it kind of works. So we spend a lot of time fitting. I drive the technical team mad and go, no, it's not right. Yeah, and I think that's what makes it special. I think a lot of other lingerie brands, they keep the same shape, but they kind of dress it, you know, with different fabrics. Whereas we're like, no, we need to keep moving things on. And I think that's how Agent Provocateur has also managed to kind of change with the times. And that's one of the things that I sort of put in place. I was like, right, we need to do things that are quite special. And, you know, I was making bras out of bits of lace that were like 3 centimetres deep and going up to an F-cup, because I was just strapping it around like a Hervé Leger bandage. I was like, we'll get it to work. So how
much is shape important? How much is comfort important? I know that's like the sort of anathema, but, you know, we have to wear them all day long.
Yeah.
And how much is fantasy an element when you're designing?
So fantasy is a big element for me. And so, I mean, I'm really inspired by moving image. I watch a lot of films, and I get inspired by, you know, women in films. And that's how normally when I'm designing, I sort of think of a character. And when I'm putting the collections together, I kind of visualize it in a kind of film world, in a way, and the characters. I always say the stores are a bit like Willy Wonka for adults. You know, it is a fantasy world, the girls in their uniforms, and it's like, hi, come in here, you know, we'll make you have fun times. And I am into comfortable knickers. And I mean, I wear AP every day and they're very comfortable. I think what's great about Agent Provocateur and how we design it is there's something for everyone, you know. So if you want to be cute one day, you can wear white cotton knickers. If you want to be Miss Whiplash, there's, you know, PVC knickers. Or if you want to have the couture of lingerie, then we have like a top-end kind of couture collection. So, because obviously the brands had to move on. I mean, it's all the kind of, a lot of girls nowadays are wearing them like tops. You know, they're going out with the crop top bras that we're doing and wearing them sort of out clubbing, or with like tracksuit bottoms and things like that. So it's, yeah.
So a lot of what you design now has become kind of outerwear rather than underwear.
Yeah.
Is that something that you have to bear in mind when you're designing the collections?
Yeah. So we always have to make sure that there is a certain amount of the collection is around kind of crop top bras. So there was a bra that I designed, I think probably about 8 years ago, called Anushka. And at the time, it was like a bra that looked like a kind of halter neck top, and it had like a hidden wire in it. And I remember when I'd done it, I think the CEO was like, crikey, who's going to wear that? I mean, that's not a bra, is it? And I was like, well, let's see. Anyway, it sold out straight away. So we've got bras that literally, yeah, you can wear like a crop top if you want to. And like Dua Lipa goes out wearing the bras on stage. We've had girls running around in bodies that we've made and wearing them with Dr. Martin boots and a thick tie. Obviously, you know, the slip dresses. I mean, Georgia May Jagger was photographed the other day in a slip dress. I mean, it's just, there is a huge trend now, which there was back in the day, like when it launched as well, everyone was going out clubbing in the big 50s knickers. So it's kind of done a full circle. So there is a huge amount of the collection that is designed to be worn out.
So if you had to define what As a Provocateur was all about,
yeah,
how would you describe it?
Filthy elegant. Basically, I think it's like filthy elegant, yeah.
The other interesting thing about the fact that you've been there such a long time is that you've clearly had to adapt. I mean, few people survive as many seismic changes in a company as you have.
Yeah.
It must have been a particularly low point when Joe Corry and Serena Reese, who set up the company, separated and therefore separated the business. And then later when Joe left, I mean, weren't the moments where you just thought, what am I still doing here?
Yeah, I think, there was. Yeah, for sure. You know, when Joe left, it was just, I think, I was given a chance and I could have just kind of gone and left with Joe. But I was like, actually, I think I can do this and I think I want to add something to it. So I kind of embraced it in a way. I mean, he's so fantastic, Joe.
I was going to ask, did he understand?
No, probably not. I think he was like, you're mad. But I've got, you know, I learned so much from him. He's such a wonderful guy. I am so honoured. Like, I think for me, to have somebody who he believed in me every day, even from the age of 24, he was like, he never doubted me and he let me sort of grow and make mistakes. And so when he left, I was like, I want to have a go. And it was kind of an exciting time because it was when we just ended up opening Madison Avenue in Rodeo Drive and AP sort of stepped up into the kind of luxury field. And that's how we ended up in Harrods as well. So, I just thought, right, I'm going to muck in and have a go here. I think right at the beginning when I first started, I was literally, I remember sort of saying, why am I the girl that kind of is doing the windows, is designing swimwear, is doing M&S, is doing the shop interiors, is, you know, working on like the creative for shows. And I didn't really realise that I was kind of on this path, on a journey. So what's happened to me is my job's kind of evolved and it still keeps evolving. And that's hence how I've ended up 20 years at As a Provocateur. And I mean, there's no other brand really like it.
I mean, it's had its ups and downs as a business along that journey. Do you think that that's to do with people's changing tastes or purely business situations that couldn't be predicted or, you know, what goes right and what goes wrong?
I think that, I mean, I was very fortunate to be an AP girl at its peak, really, when we were encouraged to get up to no good. and it moved very fast. It was literally on a journey where it was just going up, up, up. It was in the press all the time. And it was after Kylie, you know, where do we go from here kind of thing.
Kylie Minogue started wearing...
And I think it's... Yeah, there has been times when, like, with trends, and I do think it's on a huge up again. Obviously, we just did the campaign Pump It Up.
Well, it was inspired, wasn't it, again, by movies? Tell me about
that. Yeah, it was. There was Jamie Lee Curtis' inspiration in there. It was also inspired... I've got this great book that I bought when I was at St. Martin's, actually, and it's Erotic Aerobics. And I was like, this book's fantastic. I mean, it's like 1980s sexy aerobics. It is fantastic. I was like, I've got to get this. But this book's got to come out, some inspiration, sometime. Anyway, it came out. And actually, I was going to be an aerobics teacher as well before I went to St. Martin's. It was either...
You're so 90s.
Yeah. It was either be an aerobics teacher or go to Central St. Martin's. Mum was like, you're going to Central St. Martin's. For me, like, Pump It Up is really, you know, when we used to have parties, what our parties were like, you know, it's about, again, like, you know, wearing what you want to wear. I mean, the girls are dancing around in our swimsuits and lingerie. yeah, it's about having fun and embracing your body. It's very diverse. There was girls from size 8 to size 16 in the video.
Are you quite sensitive to the sort of changing mores of culture? I notice you saying that they're all different body shapes, yeah, different sizes, yeah, quite diverse. You know, the culture has changed and, yeah, and irony is fairly low.
Yes.
In low quantities out there. And so the sense that girls dressing as kind of waitresses or subservient,
yeah.
It would be funny or ironic is sort of an anathema at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely because obviously, as you know, we used to be about spanky bottom humour and like, you know, old school kind of Carry On Laughing or Benny Hill. I mean, that definitely had to go. So what we're now saying is actually we'll be doing the spanking if we want to do the spanking, not the other way around. And I think it's more like girl in charge.
And a lot of people, you know, if you put the word empowerment and sexy underwear in the same sentence, would sort of snicker and go, yeah really? but what's quite interesting about what you've done is you've actually made that journey yourself in a way. You talked about sort of having body dysmorphia, frankly, because you were gorgeous, you know, early on and buying, you know, putting on that first set of underwear at AP and thinking, wow, this is sexy. I'm sexy.
Yeah,
you know? And you've taken that all the way to another extreme because you've actually like worn your underwear and modelled it at launches and do's and things.
Yeah. But, yeah, do you know, I've been in a couple of campaigns as well. That was part of my job. I was like, I'm not sure this is my job. And they're like, yes, it is. Just, you know, go on, get on with it. I'm like, oh, I think I was in the Harrods window, actually, for a Double D fragrance campaign. In
really?
My underwear. Yeah.
So that's quite a progression from feeling pretty bad about your body to feeling like, hello, here I am.
I mean,
can you explain how underwear can do that?
Well, I went from, like, as I say, I was a double F. I went to see a plastic surgeon. I was, like, literally going to, like, go down to a C cup.
Have them reduced.
Yeah, and the gut and the surgeon, actually, before I went to AP, was like, hang on a second. And he was like, just sit there, go and have a look at yourself. He's like, I get women coming in trying to look like, are you sure you want to do this? And he kind of made me go, okay, maybe, all right. Then I kind of left and he showed me the things that could go wrong. And I was like, okay, maybe it's not for me. Like I said, I was transformed. I did go from somebody who was hunched over, you know, was trying to cover my boobs up, to wearing that first set of lingerie, which did transform me. And like, being able to be an AP girl was such an honour. You know, it was like, yeah, I'm cool. You know, like, it was almost like I found my place here, you know? I mean, I was in quite a few campaigns. I was in a video. I was in, my bum was put on Marble Arch, I think, my bottom at one point. I was like, oh! But I have to say, I'm so glad I did it because once you get photographed in your underwear or naked, you're kind of like, okay, I've done this now. And it kind of, you lose your inhibitions in a way. I've always sort of been the kind of girl that's like, okay, I'll have a go. How hard can it be, you know?
Yeah. Do you think about things like dressing rooms or fitting rooms at Agent Provocateur? Because I know that for myself and for many other of my friends, the worst bit of underwear shopping is you go in and you go into this fitting room and the lights are horrendous and they show up every single blemish and cellulite and lump and bump. And, you know, I mean, they are cruel.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to truss yourself up in this underwear and you just look at it and you think, this is not working.
Sweating.
I don't feel sexy.
I'm
sweaty and I'm uncomfortable. And oh my God, I really should just put on a very large smock.
Yes. So we do think about that. We try and make everyone feel comfortable. I mean, some of the stores, you know, they'll bring champagne out and, you know, if you want it.
Get you drunk to get over
it. Yeah. And I would say, some of the stores were quite careful with the lighting. It's one thing that we're definitely going to work more on. All mirrors are different, aren't they? And lighting can
make a bad mirror is a killer.
Oh, no. You're like, no way. I've got to go to the gym. I'm out of here. Because actually, all women, there's something about their body that they don't like the lumps and the bumps, but the lumps and the bumps are the sexy bits, you know. So
in the time that you've been at Agent Provocateur, your life has changed.
You
started out, I think, probably a bit of a singleton in the beginning, and now you've had two kids and you live with your partner.
And
so how much has your attitude to underwear and your relationship to lingerie changed over that period of time?
Oh, hugely. I mean, like, my body's changed. Obviously, when you have two kids, I mean, if anything, I've lost weight, actually, because my children are like my personal trainers. I mean, I literally,
that's what happened to me.
I'm like, running around the park all the time. So, yeah, I mean, I think I've got a better understanding of, you know, how the body changes. I know how important lingerie is. I think more so, I think before I had kids, I think I'd been like 14 years into AP, and I was a little bit like, no more knickers. You know, I was like, went through a phase of going, maybe I'm not going to wear knickers today. I'm going to be rebellious. You know, it's like working in a chocolate shop. So, you know, it was time for me to have a bit of time, actually, and just take a break from it, because I think it's good also. So on my maternity leave, I was kind of like embracing motherhood. But I'm a bit more mixy-matchy now, I would say. So before I'd be like wearing the same matchy-matchy, now I'm whatever I can find in the underwear drawer. I mean, it's all AP, but it might not all be matching. But I'm in it. But it's, yeah, all different.
That's very fashionable, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I remember watching my daughter, who's 14, you know, wearing mismatched underwear and mismatched bikinis and thinking, yeah, how can she do that? That's just wrong.
I know.
The bottom to match the top, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is totally a generational thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where they've just sort of thrown that whole idea of the matching set out the window.
Yeah. And I think, like, also when you become a mom, I mean, it's just hectic, isn't it? You know, you're like, And all I kept thinking was, what was I doing with my time? Like, what was I doing? Because time is such a luxury, isn't it, after you have kids?
But would Agent Provocateur ever design like a sexy maternity bra?
Well, we did. Yeah, we've done it. I did it. Yeah, a leopard one, actually. And it did really well. And it was based on like a 60s shape. So it was quite bullety. And a lot of people were buying them just because it was a great shape, as well as wearing it for maternity. And we also designed a knicker that had elastic, very heavy, deep elastic in the waist, so that after you'd given birth, you know, it would pull your ribs back in. And, you know, I used to wear them out actually just as control wear before kids. I have to say, after I had my kids, I didn't wear them. I should have, because my ribs didn't go in. But I was like, oh, I'm not sure I can pull that on today. I was like, please, everything loose. When you become a mom, I mean, it's really tough, isn't it? Because your life changes and a part of you kind of goes, in a way. For me, I was like, oh, I need my underwear back just to kind of feel like me again.
It's so interesting you should say that, because I was thinking about that only earlier, because I was thinking that in my sort of 20s, you know, I loved sexy underwear. I was crazy about it. I mean, it was the 80s after all, but anyway, you know, and so it'd be lacy lapella underneath a suit, you know, or underneath one of those Alaya dresses, or, you know. And then really for the whole period in the middle of my life, I sort of lost interest in, you know, it was anything that was kind of a t-shirt bra, so you couldn't see the underwear, all invisible.
Yeah.
And now, as I get older, and I think this is true of other women my age, I'm suddenly back interested in it again. And it is a sense of trying to find yourself and find a little bit of what you were.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's not often reflected in things like underwear brands. You know, it's all about just sexy and young and now.
Yeah.
You know, and those changing periods in a woman's life is almost something that would be great to celebrate.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, because also, you know, I think also trying to keep your relationship alive. You know, there's you and your partner get together and, you know, you meet and the passion and this and that. And it's almost like when you have kids, you're like, hang on a second. You know, sometimes you forget, because, you know, living in London, you're both working, you've got hectic lifestyles. And I think it's really nice that AP, in a way, like sexy lingerie kind of takes you back to that. Even when I'm designing, I am sort of thinking, well, what's going to make me feel good right now, you know, and in a more of a grown-up way. But I've got such a young design team as well. I'm always like, what about this? And they're, no, Sarah. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm like, I'll put it in anyway, because that's for my lot, you know. So we do sort of make sure that within the collection each season, there's something for everyone. But I think there has been a big athleisure thing going on. But if you look at those young girls, yeah, they might wear trainers and tracksuits through the day, but oh my God, they are so glamorous. When they go out, you're like, wow, you know, and they're really like racy. you know, they're all wearing bustiers and celebrating their cleavage again. And I think it's something that we should be celebrating because, like you say, after you have kids, I don't know about you, but I was like, I should have been naked more. I wish I'd been naked more because, you know, I should have been sort of embracing it more because, well, you know, you're only young once, aren't you?
Do you think that the thing that's really changed then is the whole emphasis on who sexy underwear was for? Because I certainly think when I was young, that it was very much about men. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily why I wore it, but certainly the whole image of sexy underwear was how to entice your man, how to, you know. And now it seems to have become much more of an expression of who you are than projecting a sort of fantasy out there for somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, definitely, I think, when I first started at AP, it was like, it was very important that you wore AP out to clubs at the time, like cabaret and stuff, because you were like, tonight might be the night and it's going to be the night if I wear my AP. It was like, you know, you had to be like, are you wearing your APs? Yes, I'm wearing my APs. Okay, it's going to be a good night tonight, you know. And it was more for the boys. Yeah, you were like, okay. But I think, now it's more for yourself. It's your little secret as well. I mean, there's a lot of businesswomen in the city who wear it under their suits every day in a man's world that I know, which I think is fantastic. And it's their way of kind of, you know, they have to dress in a certain way and it's very like around the men and kind of businessy. But underneath, they're like, I'm wearing Ouvert. They don't know I'm wearing Ouvert. Yeah, it's your bit of fun, isn't it? It's you in control. And it's definitely not for the men anymore.
Do you have a favourite bit of underwear? And it's quite an intimate question to be asking someone that you barely know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is your job.
Yeah.
So do you have a favourite piece of underwear? Is it by somebody else? I mean, is there a sort of historical piece of amazing underwear that's inspired you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got lots of favourites. I think, like, one of my favourite ranges that I worked on was the Margot bra, which is using the thin piece of lace that I was talking to you about. And it's very Hervé Léger and it's got a pad. And I made the knickers out of a bit of lace that's that thin, so it crisscrosses around, but also it holds your tummy in. I don't know how I managed to do that. And it has a great suspender. That's one of my favourite ranges that I worked on. And that was a huge, like, bestseller. If somebody said to me, what is my favourite bit of underwear, it would be a suspender belt. You know, if I could only have one thing, it would be the suspender belt, because a suspender belt, for me, kind of pulls your waist in and it frames your bottom really nicely. It makes your legs look long, makes the most of your shape, basically.
God, it's funny, and a suspender belt seems such an old-fashioned thing.
I know. It's just something that I always really like.
We asked you to bring a luxury item.
Okay.
And I wondered, seeing as you're surrounded by, you know, lace and knickers and suspender belts and so on, what that might possibly be.
Okay, so are you ready for this?
I'm bracing myself. She's rustling in her handbag.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, my good Lord. Well, it looks like a scarf.
Well, it's not a scarf. Yeah, so this, ooh, there's that.
What is it?
It's a play suit. So that's a piece of underwear. So
can you just describe it? Because it's made out of, are these sequins?
They're Swarovski crystals.
And then this goes around your neck.
Yeah, and it's...
Well, there's not much to it. I just think you should all know that.
Yeah. So it's lots of Swarovski crystal beaded strands. So it's very glistening. It's kind of...
It's sort of like a flapper dress without the fabric.
Yes.
Just the beads.
Yeah. And it's a play suit. So basically you wear it just as that. That's it. And it's from the Soiree collection. It's very expensive. It's so sexy when it's on. It fastens around the neck.
On some people, I think is what she means.
And drops down to your waist. And then you have this sort of skirty bit of tassel-y beading.
Can you hear it rustling?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible.
So these, I mean, I love, this is like, you know, when I was saying about the soiree, you could put that in a box and hang it, you know, in your bedroom. It's so special. But a lot of pop stars, musicians have kind of gone out on stage wearing things like this from us. So, I mean,
what do they put underneath? Just
so you could
as a
wear
matter
it,
of interest?
Like, I think some people like wear it with like a catsuit underneath it and stuff, sort of like a piece of jewellery. But how they're designed is that that is for the bedroom. So, you know, you would just wear that and a pair of heels, they look amazing on, actually. So there's that, and there's a few more in here as well. There's another one like that. This is a bit more rock and roll. So oh this, my is, goodness. This is a, this is like of, the biker yeah. chick one.
The shaky, shaky version.
Yeah.
Again, missing, some might say,
yeah.
the actual garment. So we're talking about more of a sort of structure, a structural thing. It's a bit like the skeleton of a human being before you put the flesh on it,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
The, with crystals and crystallized.
Would you wear any of these?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a thing for play suits. That's why I've brought it in, because this is all from my own collection. So this is what
I'll take my hand off the gusset then, shall I?
I mean, they're quite Paco Rabanne as well. This one's very Paco Rabanne, you know.
So Paco Rabanne in a dungeon.
Yeah, Paco Rabanne in a dungeon. I have worn these a lot, actually, and I have worn them over cat suits and dresses and things.
Oh, well, this is heavy. This is all sort of gold discs, it looks like.
Very Paco Rabanne.
Very Grecian, ancient Grecian goddess kind of thing.
Yeah.
Probably the goddess of love.
Yeah, But they're really fab on. I know it looks a bit scary, but all shapes look great in these. I know it's hard to believe, because I think the female form is so beautiful. They kind of just skim over, you know, your shape. I'm yet to have a woman not want to play suit when I've put her in it.
You might have met your match today. I think it'd be lovely with a nice polo neck underneath and a nice pair of pants.
Probably really good with a polo neck underneath and a nice pair of... Yeah, but, you know...
I mean trouser pants. I don't mean Bridget Jones pants, obviously.
Listen, Bridget Jones pants are very back in fashion again, you know.
Well, those are all kind of amazing and tantalising, and I recommend that listeners go to a... Argent Provocateur outlet near them to view some of these spectacular pieces of...
luxury.
Corsetry, luxury, not corsetry, luxury, what do we call them?
Play suits.
Play suits, play suits, play suits, but don't think romper.
They're not a suit you wear to work.
Definitely not.
But it is a kind of power suit.
You'd make a lot of rattling noises, wouldn't you, as you were answering the phone?
Just
finally, if I was to escort you out the door and into the store, where would you head?
Oh, the shoe department. I love the shoe department. I mean, I just love shoes. Again, I think it's one of the most important things that you put on. And I am actually a trainer girl or a high heel girl. I go from one extreme to the other. But I think a high heel for me does the same thing that a piece of underwear does. So, you know, I mean, there's been many a meeting. If I've gone into a tricky meeting, I've put my heels on. I've been like, yes, I'm ready for this meeting and I'm going to take it on. Because it kind of elevates you and it makes your body look great. And I think the shoe department in Harrods is just fantastic. I mean, it's the best in London, really. So I'd head to the shoe department and the fragrance department as well, because I've got a bit of a thing for fragrance and scent. And again, it's the best.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You've been listening to True Tales of Luxury with me, Mariella Frostrup, and my guest, Sarah Shotton. This podcast was recorded in Harrods in London.